Freedom, the year of freedom. I have the freedom to make commitments. God gave me the freedom to make commitments. Larry, make a commitment to me. Okay, Lord. And I make a commitment to him. Sometimes I keep them. You're a human being and you're messed up big time. I keep saying that. You all are going to get a complex before the message is over. But it's a fact. We have problems. God deals with us. Because you see, when we're talking about making commitments, God said, I'll make a commitment to you. Larry, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be with you. Remember that. God will keep his commitment, always has. Never a time in your life that the commitment God made to you has he failed to follow through. He loves you. We're his children. He wants us to have peace within our mind, peace in our heart. So when we don't have that peace, don't be foolish like so many are and blame it on God. What keeps us from making commitments? And there's a lot of people, oh yeah, I know about commitments. But there's something that keeps us from really making a commitment. Let's look at it. Let's look at the scripture. Let's see what God says. But better than that, pay attention to what God does in your life. Always loving you. Loving you when you're really messed up. That's God's commitment to me and you. First of all, what keeps us from making commitments? Resentment towards God. I don't like for people to say it to me, but they do. And then I have to give little mini sermons out somewhere when they're talking to me. Well, Pastor, I don't go to church anymore. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But you do know that when Jesus comes, he's coming for the church. That sure be a good place to be. Amen. In communion with the church. But they resent God. You know why, preacher? I didn't really want to hear it. But you are polite and you say, please tell me. Because when I was a kid, my mama made me go to church every time the doors were open. I love your mama. I think she should have brought you a little more. But thank God that you had a mama or a daddy that would insist on you being around God's people. In God's house, a body united, representing Jesus. It's the body of believers that represent Jesus. All of us together. That's called the church. I got a certain personality, don't I? Each of us have our own individual personality. Okay, I can relate to a lot of people, especially the rougher ones. By the way, Tim, Becky, great to have you all back. Dear fellow Marine, it's always good to welcome you, money. But God says, Larry, you can't do it on your own. And he'll call your name and I'll let you know you can't either. Because it's the body of Christ is how we truly represent Christ. I am a Christian, but my personality may not relate to somebody else's personality. You get all of us together, we have a multiplicity of personalities. Some of us have 12 to 15 personalities right inside that one body. And God will choose the personality to touch the life of the one he's wanting to reach. That's the body of Christ united together. Job, I love Job. Preach on him enough, don't I? 36 verse 13. For the godless are full of resentment. Now let me tell you, Christian, if you've accepted Jesus, the Lord and Savior of your life, you're godly. Actually, you're a saint. Probably not acting like one, but you are. The godless, that's when you don't pay any attention to your connection to Christ and go out on your own. Sometimes Christians act godless. For the godless are full of resentment, even when he punishes them. The punishment from our Father, from our Savior, is for our good. When Jesus is punishing you, you ought to be praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But Lord, I'd appreciate it if you'd sort of back off just a little bit. I'm overwhelmed on the punishment. Oh, I know Jesus smiles. Because you see, I'll punish you for a good purpose. As I punish you, whatever way he does it, he doesn't overdo it either. When I punish you, it will help you to relate the gospel to someone else. I'm a Christian. The only reason that I'm on planet Earth is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that there's one way, and Jesus is that way. And you as a Christian are to tell the truth, the biblical truth about the punishment of life. It helps you grow. Oh, punishment does not seem favorable at the time we're getting it. But look back on your life and see what you learn from the punishment you received for what you did. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you a direction. And then he's going to point you in that direction. Even when he punishes them, they refuse to cry out to him for help. Isn't that strange? Why is it that when we get in over our head, we pout and we moan and we groan and we wallow in our own self-pity? And a pastor will say, have you talked to God about this? Well, no, Pastor, I know he's busy. I hate that one too. He's not too busy for you.
Amen.
You are the reason he watched his son down that cross. There's no such thing as I got a small problem. If it's big to you, it's big to God.
Right.
Talk to him about it. You want it fixed or you just want to wallow? Oh, Lord, I sort of like the idea of people feeling sorry for me. You know what'll get that out of you if you're young? Join the Marines. Guarantee it. Right, Bobby? Guarantee you. Straighten it out. We're doing good on the Marine Corps right now. But God says, I won't forget. Talk to me. Proverbs 19, verse 3. People's own foolishness ruins their lives. Huh? But what made you do that? Oh, the devil made me do it. That's not a good one. And it's the crowd that I ran with. I said, you led the crowd. You know, being a prison chaplain helped me out a lot in preparation for being a pastor of this church. People's own foolishness runs their lives, but in their minds, listen to this again, They blame the Lord. Well, the Lord knew that I was going to do it. He should have stopped me. We are foolish, folks. Look, when you see you're going in the wrong direction, a halfway intelligent individual will stop and turn around. Lord, give me a direction to go back. I'm sorry I didn't ask for it to begin with. Amen. It's resentment towards God. Well, I had a little brother, and my little brother died. We prayed and prayed, but God didn't save his life. Scripture tells me that I'm to rejoice. Do you not know that the innocent are taken from you to protect them from the times to come? Folks, there's a reason if someone's taken. There's a reason. God does not leave us alone. Well, I blame God. I blame God. Get on your face and ask God for the mercy it takes for you to come to your senses. Next, distractions in the culture. Boy, what a culture we're in. I feel like I'm back in Roman days where Jesus was sometime. Everything goes. But we're distracted by the culture. I've told you all, I really do enjoy when we go to, when I took Jason or Hunter, either one, to the arcades. I love the lights, you know, going around. And here I am, standing there putting a quarter in it, and I'm watching the lights. Not realizing I'm supposed to be doing something. I just like the lights, you know, the draw of excitement. Should have given that to church, shouldn't I? Distractions in our culture. Listen to Mark 4:19. The attractions of this world and the delights of wealth and the search for success and lure of nice things come in and crowd out God. Really? Come in and crowd out God. That's a living Bible. They do. Why do we allow it? Because we become addicted to it. Now, your pastor doesn't stand and put quarters in and watch the lights anymore. Although standing here talking about it, it was fun. But the world has the lights, and those lights are flashing, and the culture of the time draws us to them. The addictions of the day draws us in. And God says, you need to make a commitment. Make a commitment and keep it. We make a lot of commitments in our life. If I make a deal with you to buy something from you for a certain amount or to have you do work for me, I don't care a thing about a contract. Amen. If I don't think you're going to do it right, you're not going to be hired anyway. Amen. But I'll shake your hand and I guarantee you, you'll get every dime. That's a commitment. Jesus not only was willing to shake my hand, he was willing to stick his hand down in the ditch of life and grab hold of me and lift me up and say, I'm committed to you, Larry, because you said yes to me. Amen. He never left me there. Always lifting up. Always caring. Oh, we get caught up in self-pity so often. Oh, I just can't get around people right now. I just don't feel comfortable. Well, your feelings are causing you to miss a blessing. What if God placed you around the personalities and had a certain personality coming to you that's going to speak and give you an answer to the prayer you've been asking God to give you an answer on? And of all things, he used a fellow Christian to give you the answer. But in your pity parties, your character breaks, and you accept the world, the culture, and the character goes down. Ecclesiastes 7:4. A wise person thinks about death. Actually, I think the true focus on that is one more word. I'm thinking about the translation on it. A wise person thinks of death often, but a fool thinks only about having a good time. A wise person thinks about death. If I think about death, then I think about how death has no control over me. That's in the scripture. And I read about a Savior who told me that I never had to die because in him I am living for eternity. So the wise person will think of death often, but the fool thinks only about having a good time. Well, the good time days end. The one who's accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior never ends. You are alive forevermore. You are a child of God. And Jesus said, I commit to you total forgiveness, and I will pay your sin debt, and my Father will accept you on my blood. Why are you here, Larry? What did you do to earn getting into heaven? I know the blood. Amen. I've had a blood transfusion. And I'm coming in because I said yes to Jesus, and Jesus knows my name. Amen. Yeah, I'm not going to be a stranger. Jesus knows my name. Therefore, in making commitments in my life, when if I'm going to make that commitment to Christ, keep it. Only the world will get you off track. And when you know that, quit playing around in the world. Get away from the lights. Save your quarter. Walk away. Well, preacher, that's harder said than done. No, not very hard. Let me tell you. One of these days, probably unexpected to you, you're going to wake up in heaven or hell. Something unexpected. Well, he wasn't even sick. You don't have to be sick to die. But you don't have to worry about the dying part either. Amen. I read the book. Amen. I'm never going to die. I'm going to leave this body, and I'm going to be with you all, whether you like that or not either, in heaven for eternity. And a new heaven, a new earth coming down, and obviously we'll have a job to do. What is it? I don't have any idea, but I know it's to have the character of Christ within us and take care of our Father's business. not somebody else's. Here's a third one for you. I got four. A selfish desire for independence. That's a big one. That's a bigger one than you think. Did you pray about that situation, brother, sister? Well, God got better things to do than to listen to my prayer. Well, then why did he tell you to pray? Don't tell God what he's got time to do. Our problem is our selfish desire to be independent. I can take care of this myself. I remember those days well. I got four stab wounds in my back, but I can take care of myself. No, I couldn't. You see, God knows his enemy. And let me remind you of this. An enemy to God is your enemy as a Christian. Yeah. So don't have a selfish desire of independence. Listen to this one in Proverbs 10, verse 8. The wise man is glad to be instructed. How do I get through this? I remember as a prison chaplain, when groups would come up to visit the prison system, or I would take up the youth out of Hardin County, what's called Youth Criminal Awareness Program, and take them in, and I let them meet the inmates in that prison, Kentucky State Reformatory at LaGrange. For many years, I ran down. To this day, I still get feedback from the students that went to see the other world inside the prison so that they wouldn't have the desire to go there. Amen. I allowed them to talk to the inmates. I picked the inmates they talked to, but I allowed them to talk to the inmates and hear the story about their life and what broke them down. Never thought during that time, because I loved what I did in the prison, hostage negotiator and everything for the prison systems and getting to preach there. I loved that. And of all things, God intervenes. 28 years, and God said, Larry, I'm going to send you to a church to pastor. That's 31 years ago. A church was Vine Grove Baptist Church. And I've told you all many times, right at the beginning, I thought, man, everybody's Christian. Nobody's mad at each other. Everything is just awesome. Thank you, Lord. And then I realized the 28 years of training in the prison got me prepared for a church pastorate. That is funny, but it's a fact. Personalities, it doesn't matter where they are. Personality, the human condition, is on the inside and on the outside. And God says, I want you to back away from your selfish desire for your independence. Listen to Proverbs 10:8. The wise man is glad to be instructed. The self-sufficient fool falls flat on his face. Step back, God. You can go ahead and work more on Randy. You call me to preach and I'll preach your word, Lord. I didn't say that. I'm not going to either. Wisdom tells me that you stay humble and you stay under the protection of Jesus. Amen. It was Jesus that said, Larry, I'll never leave you nor forgive or forsake you. Never will I do that. And he never has. But he tells me, selfish desire for my own independence. Lord, you go ahead and take care of some others. I can take care of myself now. You'll never hear this pastor say that prayer. Lord, if you're leaving, I'm leaving. And the last one. You know what keeps us from commitment, the big one? Fear. Well, now, if I make a commitment to my members or to another individual, I'm afraid that I might break my commitment. Well, whose problem is that? You know, I'm afraid I can't keep it. Have you talked to Jesus lately about him? Is he afraid now that he can't keep his commitment to you? That you're going to be in eternity with him? And because of your foolish actions or so, then you're saying those foolish actions will keep you away from a commitment that your Savior made to you? Not happening. Jesus said, I'm committed to you. Even if you're foolish enough not to keep your commitment with me. So you and I, in our commitment life, don't be afraid to make the commitment. Just have the wisdom to do all you can to keep that commitment. Sometimes tragic situations happen, keep you from keeping it. Yeah, Jesus understands that. But I guarantee you, he'll send somebody else real quick to take care of it. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Yeah, this was a good one. Because I'm afraid. So therefore, I'm going to wait till everything's perfect in my life. Then I can serve the Lord. Again, your pastor loves you to death, but you're never going to see everything perfect in your life as long as you're in that body. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. There's a bush on my place up in front of a barn. My house, it blooms once a year. I hate the bush. I've cut it, I've chopped it and everything, and Faye and I driving by up front the other day, and there it is. Pop back up again. Well, Brother Larry, what's the matter with that bush? Try mowing around it and watch it reach out and grab you. And I'm going to end up cutting it down before the spring is over again. But I suppose one more time of it growing back might tell me something. And I'll start to say, you know, that's the prettiest bush I've ever seen. I don't even know what you call it. It's all yellow right now. But it is good looking. But you can't work around it without getting cut. God says, a lot of times we, in our human condition, get that way. People are out there wanting to help us. We have a glow of hope emanating from us. They want to help, but the Christian stands at a distance. God tells me that if I stand at a distance when I see something wrong going on, when I stand at a distance when I hear somebody saying something that is wrong, the scripture tells me I'm just as guilty as the person saying it. Speak up. Stand up for Jesus. That's keeping your commitment to the truth. Psalm 9, verse 6. Leave behind your foolishness and begin to live. I don't need the lights. greatest light in my life. His name is Jesus. And he's always exciting in my life. I always know how to look at him in my life because he made a commitment that he would never leave me nor forsake me. That commitment was a promise. It's a covenant. Yeah, a covenant goes a little bit deeper than the law does. Grace is awesome. Ask me or Randy, either one. Grace is awesome, but it's a lot more demanding. The law said when the person needed to be walked with, you walk with him 1 mile. Jesus says that through grace, you walk with him as many as he needs. You give, not till it hurts, until the job is done. You give of what God gives to you. Amen. If you have the ability to help, help. Well, Lord, should I help that man in that ditch over there? He said he was thirsty. You don't need to pray about that. Jump down in there. Now, you might not be giving him the drink he wants, but a good drink of water from the head of the stream will take you a long way in this life. Make a commitment to Christ. And if Jesus ever dropped his commitment to you, you go ahead and drop your commitment to him, because that's not going to happen. That's God's word. It doesn't get better than God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for the blessings and the joy of salvation. Father, we thank you for being so committed to us. And Father, when we look at our lives and we look at the situation our own country is in and all the other countries around the world, Father, we need to be committed to you through your Son, Jesus. The answer, you'll send them. You'll be the one that will send the leaders that will make the difference, whether they know it or not. Thank you, Father, for putting up with us, for your great love. We ask now, give us the wisdom for the weak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.